Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a bonus episode of Pride Parts. A very special bonus episode because he's gone all serious for some reason. Why did you go serious as soon as...
Because he went a bit serious.
I did not go serious. You went serious as soon as I was about to intro you. Well, you thought I was going to... You're preempting the fact that you think I'm going to intro you.
Yeah, were you not?
Well, I could do.
Oh, okay.
We have Alex on the podcast.
Hello.
There he is.
Hi, that's me. Yeah.
Great to meet you.
You too.
Have you guys not met yet?
We've not.
Never.
You've kept us secret from each other. Why is that, Jay?
I don't know. Just felt like
we
it.
Dirty little secrets. Is that what it is?
Yeah, we have a... Yeah, Josh Roberts and I are in love.
Big time.
Big time, baby.
It's a very diverse sofa today, I have to say.
I know.
Just phoning it in with the three middle-class white dudes.
Yeah, just rocking it. Killing it. But hey, listen, it is a special episode because it's Mental Health Awareness Week. It's running all this week. It's focused around loneliness. And loneliness is a funny one because, firstly, with loneliness, it has lots of different scales of like how people... Typically, I think when people think of loneliness, they go, well, is that someone who has no friends or someone who is a nomad or whatever it is? But actually, there's way different variants of it, isn't there?
100%. Which I think of it in terms of like disconnection.
There we go.
And so...
Knew it.
The capability, you know, you can be with, surrounded by lots of people, but not feel like you're connected to them in any way.
Yeah, we see, what we do is we bring him in and he just delivers the gold. Josh Roberts is here. Josh Roberts.
Yeah, straight that? In.
You should have
straight
a little post-it in. Note. No post-it note today.
No post-it note at all.
Shooting from the hip.
Before we kick things off, we should probably ask each of us, how are we? How is everyone? Let's start with you, Matt. How are you?
Do you know what? I'm actually really good. Really good. Yeah. I've had a good couple of weeks. I have been doing quite a lot of things I was in a little bit of a shit period.
Yeah.
Put some stuff, enacted some stuff to sort of turn it around.
Good man.
I've just been boozing every day. It's amazing what alcohol can do.
Can you elaborate on what you said when you weren't feeling good though?
I think I was having one of these kind of, it was a bit of a life doubt where you go, shit, like what am I doing? What's the purpose? Like, who am I? It was just, I don't know. I just had one of those. It lasted for about a month and I was kind of a bit all over the place.
Do you think you were boozing because of that's how you were feeling, or you're feeling like that because you were boozing, or it's like a bit of both?
So a little bit of history. I actually wasn't boozing. I did 100 days off booze. And weirdly in that period had this kind of...
You had the same. Jamie had the exact same.
Mine was really bad. Yeah.
I think what it is because when you booze, you're in a bit of a cycle. You go and you're hungover and you're almost in this kind of like survival.
Yeah.
You don't actually have time to let things rest and digest things and think properly. So if you're constantly hungover and you're constantly in that cycle, you don't think about the bigger picture. And I think I had time to sort of... I think it was just a readjustment of the way I was doing things, readjustment of my life, and kind of aiming myself in a more productive.
So you're back on the source now.
I'm drinking again, but weirdly I've come out of this 100 days and I did win a bet with Jamie, which he's annoyed about.
But I think, you know what, that's cool though. I had exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
It's called white knuckling. White knuckling is where typically if you drink a lot and you give up alcohol, when you go on a roller coaster and you grip hold of the bar and yeah. your knuckles go white, that's why they call it. It's like you're clinging on. And actually, typically what happens when people give up alcohol, actually things come to the surface that potentially have been being suppressed because of alcohol or whatever. Not saying that this is what you went through, Mitt.
Mm.
But I definitely think, you know, this is not what we're meant to, but with alcoholism actually normally starts at such a young age and people don't realize that. Like typically most alcoholics or a huge percentage of alcoholics start becoming alcoholics in their teens because you're socially anxious, nervous, lonely, whatever it is, sad. And then you start drinking alcohol in your teens and you go, oh my God, this actually makes me feel better.
Mm.
And it makes you feel more confident, or so you think it does, and all these different things. So actually you learn to use alcohol as a tool in your teens.
Well, we've chatted about this before, but I always say the best possible anti-anxiety medication you can take
yeah.
is like 2.5 pints. 3 pints, maybe.
Yeah.
But the problem is that you can't live your life having had. Well, I guess you probably could, but it wouldn't be a particularly productive life. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And at some point, you've got to get off the roller coaster and experience that sort of decline. But I think it's so fascinating that that you had the same thing, because whenever I've given up booze for more than a couple of weeks, I feel fucking great.
Yeah,
and mentally, not just in my body.
I definitely felt good. I think taking booze out of the whole thing, it was just a bit of a transitional phase where I was just working out the next steps. And I think I'm 31 now. I do think around that time in your life, you do have that kind of like, right, okay.
Oh my God, yeah.
What is this? What am I doing? Like, so, and it's quite scary because you kind of have to almost like say goodbye a little bit to some of these things that you've done for so long and you've become quite attached to.
Yes.
So you're kind of like mourning. You're like, oh, okay, fuck, I've actually got to do this now. Right, okay. It's a little bit of growing up, I guess.
That is so funny, because I had exactly that, what you were saying.
Yeah. I know you did. I remember you saying. So I think, and then obviously I kind of just started, it's pretty straightforward, but doing yoga, doing meditation.
Mm.
Learning as much as I can about new ways of thinking and trying to sort of, take on as much knowledge and
finger up the bum.
Watching loads of porn
most mornings. Actually, not watching porn.
There you go.
Cut porn out completely.
Really?
Yeah.
Josh, take note.
he's like one of the MPs. He's got it up on his phone.
Yeah. I love that.
Whilst recording. It is a bad, I don't think it's good. It's good juju. It's not good for society, I don't think. I think it fucks up a lot of people's heads.
Oh, 100% it
does.
But you've got to pick your vices, if like everyone has some things that they're doing. And
I don't actually agree with that.
You don't?
I don't think you have to pick your vices. I think you
that's still a good point.
Because I think with that mentality,
he doesn't agree. Josh, you don't agree.
No, but I feel with that mentality, you go, oh, well, it's my vice. And then you don't do anything to try and improve your relationship with it. It's like anything. You overdo anything. So if you overdo drink, you're going to end up in hospital if you do it too much. If you overdo food, and you're going to be unhealthy. If you overdo porn, it's a stimulant. It's going to fry your brain. It's going to mess your sex life up. And that it definitely did. It messed up my sex life previously.
Research on that's really, really interesting. There's this wonderful graph in terms of erectile dysfunction amongst men under 35. And in 2006, I think it was, when the porn tube sites started, like the free YouTube version of porn.
Don't talk about it like you don't know what they are.
It's like this this sort of like precipitous fall. I mean, like, drops like 35% overnight when the tube sites come back. You kind of initiate.
Explain that again.
So in terms of erectile dysfunction amongst men under the age of 35, which is not uncommon, but it's also not particularly common.
Yeah.
Or at least evolutionary-wise wouldn't be. And it kind of bumbles along like this, 1930s, 50s, 60s, 70s. And then when free porn and broadband internet hits in 2006, 7, erectile dysfunction just goes...
Wow.
Yeah, it's huge.
It makes total sense if you think about it. Like, it's just kind of rewiring your sexual synapses, whatever they're called, to kind of lean towards porn. So when it comes to actual... sex, you're no longer as stimulated because you've kind of been bombarded by this other form of, it's just pretty unnatural, basically.
So you're living this monkish, no, because you are drinking, but you're also yogaing and...
I'm just trying to get a better relationship with things, just because I've been an extremist for a lot of my 20s and early 30s. I pushed the boundaries on everything that I kind of had an inkling for.
But I think, but I think having a vice is not a bad thing. And like, obviously, it depends if it's extreme.
If it's murder, then
if it's murder, it's not good.
What do you think your vice is, James?
I think my vice is
crushing people, crushing people financially.
By a financial, yeah, exactly. Dominating the candy industry.
My vice. It's funny about alcohol. I had a bad relationship with alcohol before because I think I was suppressing stuff with it, and that's when I was doing MIC and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so then when I used to give up alcohol, I used to feel extreme levels of anxiety. And that was weird, right? And I was like, wait, hang on, I've given up alcohol, but I still feel really anxious. Now when I give up alcohol, I feel fab.
Yeah.
And it's actually what is damaging now is actually when I drink too much. So, and I think,
I'll tell you this actually. Sorry, this is a side note.
I think my vice is alcohol.
We had dinner and I was sitting there drinking pints, being like sort of...
Did I leave you by yourself?
No. I met up with someone else.
Oh, okay.
Move from one to the other, mate. But Jamie was drinking these, would you call it like a skinny bitch or something? The celebrity drink.
It's the celebrity vodka big loser.
Vodka lime soda.
Yeah, and like, yeah. You know, like dipping cotton wool in Diet Coke for dinner and all this kind of stuff. And afterwards, I got home and I was like, fuck. I said to my wife, I was like, I'm going to try like to and see if it makes a meaningful impact. I'm not going to drink pints anymore. I'm going to have your...
So is that what you've done?
You had some extraordinary requests, but this poor waitress is like, "What? You're like, oh, can I get a diet lemonade and tequila?" She was like, "No."
Yeah, she did say no. You look skinny though.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, well,
you've lost weight.
I've been doing what I've now discovered is called intermittent fasting.
Mm. Oh, hello.
But I just don't eat breakfast.
Yeah. Just starve yourself. Yeah,
it's actually banging.
Yeah, it's the best. But there's all these books about it and podcasts and stuff. And then I asked the friend. He said, "Oh, you just don't eat breakfast, and you have to have dinner, I think, before 8 o'clock." Fine.
Wait, Josh, we need to ask, how are you feeling?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, I'm good. I've really struggled with my sleep for the last month or so. It's been really shit again.
Yeah, the worst. I've had that. It's terrible.
But you don't know Josh's. And perhaps we should remind everyone.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
so just for anyone who's tuning in, Josh, great friend of mine, Alex, I met him. Josh came on the podcast. We were introed by a friend.
Yeah.
Maybe 4 years ago, 3
something
years
like
ago,
that,
something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
Josh had just written a book called The Anxious Man. Mm-hmm. I said every single time, it's a fabulous book.
Yeah.
It's so good. And you should go and listen to it. Well, you can listen to it probably.
You can listen to me reading it.
Oh, listen to reading it.
I think I have that book.
No, it's so good.
It's actually in my bedroom. Yeah.
Shit, really?
Yeah, I don't know what it's doing.
Mid, it is.
I remember seeing it.
So you've replaced
it.
Porn with.
Yeah. Just wanking into literature.
But it is so good. It is so good. Anyway, Josh came on the podcast, spoke about your book, and I read your book, loved the book. We then became friends. We start doing a podcast together called Voicemail, where we talk about different things, and that occasionally happens. And it's on Patreon at the moment, but we'd hopefully bring it back.
Yeah.
And we just became friends from then on. And your story was very similar to mine, both had panic attacks. You talk about the dreaded party you went to the next day. You had a panic attack.
Exactly. Yeah.
Led to general anxiety disorder. I'm telling a story for you. But and then you quit your job. You quit everything to become an author because you just had to change your life around. And your thing was your sleep. You struggle with your sleep.
Yeah.
And what did you used to do to try and help yourself sleep?
Well, no, because what you end up doing, obviously hilarious for you, is...
The most tumultuous part of your life. Like, yeah, exactly. Giggling.
Josh, he had a piece of chocolate one night when he was going through his terrible... Because listen, we can joke about... The point is about this is that we're sitting here talking about mental health. Mental health is incredibly serious. It is the week where we can... almost celebrate in a way mental health in a good way. But what we like to do is don't be doom and gloomy about it.
No, because take the piss out of me.
Yeah, have fun. Yeah. Like I suffer with anxiety. I've had OCD. I have insomnia, whatever it is. But we laugh about it. Continue.
Thank you for that setup. Yeah. Well, no, it's basically what happens. It's very common is when you have something like you struggle with insomnia, what you do is then if you do have a good night's sleep, you go back through the night before and you go, shit, okay, what did I do differently? Mm. I drank this much water. I turned the light on and off this amount of time. I ate one square of chocolate, but not two.
It's my favorite.
And then very quickly these things become, and it's how people develop either obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm, yeah. You develop obsessions that you think relieve or prevent you can develop compulsions that you think prevent the obsessions. And that's how you get into these bizarre loops. I still do some of that stuff.
No, you don't.
I promise you I do.
Like what?
I go for a piss before I get into bed. So the way it works is I get into bed.
Yeah.
Like 5 minutes of reading this or that. And then I have to get out and go and do another piss. And often I just stand there, nothing happens. And I get back into bed, but now it's okay. I can go to sleep. It is bizarre.
Yeah, I know exactly what
you mean. You know what I mean? But it becomes a rule.
Yeah. I'm the same. I'll procrastinate so much and do all these things that I think are going to make me sleep better. So I'll drink like a, a sleep-inducing tea.
Yeah, and then
by the time I've finished all these things, it's like 2 a.m. and then I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh shit, I'm only going to get 5 hours sleep. And then I'm fucked. Like, I'm up all night.
And I hadn't had it for ages. I've been having such a good run, maybe like 18 months of no problems whatsoever. And then
it clicked in.
Yeah, bizarrely, I had my stag do.
Where did you go that I wasn't invited to?
Do you know what we did was we just went to a restaurant we had. It was one night. I feel they got so out of hand, these stag do's. Mine was like one night in London. And it was really good.
That's your safety net, just quickly. I was speaking to Josh about the wedding. I was explaining what I'm going to do because obviously you guys are all invited. And Josh said, you only want to do one day.
It's one day.
Yeah, because he gets too much.
What are you
doing? He
gets
too much anxiety.
I don't need it. And I did too because we went back to the pub on the Sunday and obviously it fucked me for a week.
To be fair, listening to a lot of people have been going on stag do's and hen do's recently, everyone fucking hates them.
They don't like it.
They're so annoyed. They're like, oh my God, I've got to go away for another 3-day weekend bender. It's going to be so expensive. Yeah, they come back fucking so miserable.
You feel terrible. No one to do it. No.
It's like forced, like getting
pissed. I think for my one, I'm going to go skiing for 3 days.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Nice and relaxed.
Just cheap. Nice, cheap.
We're going to go.
It doesn't get boozy there. It's very cheap.
Samaritz for 3 days.
I love like you teed that up as though I thought you were going to say like we're going to go to the library and just like learn. No, we're going to go skiing. I'm up for it though.
Yeah. Wait, so Josh, so you did your stag do.
Anyway, yeah. And then as a result of that, I just had the thought, oh, fuck, I'm not going to sleep.
And then
the panic was, fuck, maybe I'm like back in year one, you know, where it all went pear-shaped. And I was like slaving over that. And then I just did all the stuff that you described.
Yeah.
You do the exercise, which is so, so important for me at least. Do the exercise, do all the CBT stuff that I've been wanging on about for years. Talk to people about it and get busy and stuff and just wait. And after 5 days, it started to get better.
Well, that's the thing. They always do say that, and I think the biggest fear is when that happens, whether you've had a bash of depression, anxiety, insomnia, OCD, whatever it is, when it then kicks back in, you straight away catastrophize, especially if you're an anxious person, you catastrophize and you go, it's going to be like it was before. How many times have I spoken to you and gone, it's going to go back. It's going to go back to what it was like. And because it was so horrible that period, you fear it so much. Now, this week though is all about loneliness.
Yeah.
What is your take, Josh, on loneliness?
Well, I think it's really, so the first thing to say is it's very, very interesting how people our age and a bit younger are the loneliest.
Yeah.
And it's this bizarre kind of paradox because we're at once the most connected generation in human history, but also the most disconnected and the most lonely. It's actually something, thankfully, I've never had huge issues with it. But I know lots and lots of people who do. Like we said, it sounds a bit trite, this idea of like being surrounded by people, but also feeling as though you just have no connection as though you're kind of isolated and existing on your own. It's a really, really big problem. And the answer does not lie in the mobile, in using your phone and hitting social media and stuff like that.
Mm.
There's a scary statistic quickly, which is...
God, he loves his statistics. Yeah. You do this with you?
So. I actually just turn off.
He'll go, there's an ancient Chinese proverb.
And
Here we go. Well, I've got a few of you.
It's regurgitated.
Of course it's regurgitated. I haven't made it up.
Sometimes you do try and pass it off as your own.
I know, occasionally.
What do you want me to do is go and make up a stat that I have done?
It would actually be more interesting because it would probably be funny.
All right, well, fine.
Come on, hit us with the stat.
Okay.
Money don't make the world go round.
Okay, well,
reaching out for a higher ground.
I'll tell you a stat before we get into this one. The statistic is, okay, something like they did a test, and I'm going to get it wrong, but it's around these lines. They did a survey on loneliness, and this was about 30 years ago, I think it was. And they, or 25 years ago, maybe, they did a survey and asked each individual how many close friends they have. And that includes sort of family members and things like that, and people they can really turn to. And that's just not just like going, oh, hey, happy birthday. It's actually going for lunch and stuff like that. And the average answer was 4 friends or 5 friends. It was 4 or 5 around that. That was the average answer. They did the same test in America. Now, the average answer was 0. That's the average answer. That 0 people in America, the average is that they don't have anyone they can turn to in terms of like need and help and worry and things like that. We're in a completely lonely environment which we created for ourselves because of social media, because of our phones, because we think picking up our phone and texting someone is the same as meeting up in person, but it's not. We don't have that same connection.
I think people learned a lot of that in the pandemic as well, because people who had never struggled with loneliness or isolation before obviously were then legally mandated to be lonely and be isolated. And there was a slight return to making a phone call rather than you know, sending a text or going for a walk rather than having a phone call or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Mm. And I remember we talked about at the time, will that disappear as life comes back to normal? And I think it has slightly started to do that again, where people would rather send a text or, you know, that thing where you realize you get to a Friday evening or something, it probably doesn't happen to you too.
And you don't want to do it.
Because you'll be off to the BAFTAs or something. But it'd be like, you get to
not again.
Or whatever. Round to Eamon Holmes's house for shepherd's pie and champagne or whatever.
For some shepherd's pie and some cocaine.
I don't know why it was Eamon. Sorry, I don't know if you're friends with Eamon.
Great guy.
Eamon Holmes.
Going around his homes. What was it?
Alison Hammond. Maybe Alison Hammond or something.
Going around Eamon's homes. I love the idea of having shepherd's pie and some sugar booger.
In bed with Eamon.
Some fabs. Get some fabs out of the freezer.
Anyway, this business where you get to a Friday evening and you go, shit, I haven't got anything planned. And so rather than sort of exist in your own, what I would do is like wang out 5 or 6 different texts to different people. Not because you really want to, not because I'm like desperate. Often if someone replies, go, oh yeah, I'm free. Do you want to go to the pub? I go, oh fuck, not really actually.
No,
I just want to feel like something is happening around me, or I want to feel a kind of quick vector to connection.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What I've realized, and I've noticed this in myself, is because we're so used to being plugged into this thing where there's constant feedback. When we don't have that feedback, you get like anxious. You're like, oh
yes,
God, what? Like, why don't I have someone replying to me? Why don't I have this? Mm-hmm. It's completely bonkers. It's unnatural. We shouldn't be like that. We need to have these periods where we just are existing within our own internal space and not like being like, oh God, why isn't someone speaking to me?
You're so right. And I was talking about this morning with someone else, this business of how much time. So last week I spent 2 hours a day on social media on my phone, which is something like 730 hours a year, which is basically the month of February.
Oh my God.
Right? So I'm 2 hours isn't bad. Like
2 hours is good.
It's pretty good. Right?
A lot of people are like heading towards 8 hours and shit, which is bonkers.
Right. And so that's the entire month of February. So imagine what you could get done. If you could write a book.
It's a lot of wanking.
You could write another book.
A lot of wanking.
It's the productivity. It's so interesting though, Josh, what you say about that firing that message out. I think a lot of people, including myself, relate to that. And actually that's a lot of the time why I let people down. I used to do that much more, is that I would fire out a message to 4 or 5 different people. What are you doing tonight? They would respond. You want to go to the pub? And then I wouldn't want to really do anything. Or I would have already made a plan with someone else and then I would commit. And then you start to disassociate yourself with those people. But loneliness is a big thing. And I think from my experience with it, I experienced it massively where I was disconnected, which is where we were doing MI Made in Chelsea a lot. And I was becoming more and more socially anxious. Because every single situation, I think we spoke about this as well with you and you, Josh. I was becoming more and more socially anxious because every single situation I would go into, I would think it was a scene. I would think that I was going in to do a scene. So I would have to perform every single time. And when I would leave that scene or that just normal situation with a friend or whoever it was, I would think they were giving me an Uber rating out of 10. And if I hadn't made them laugh or I hadn't made them do this or I hadn't interested them or something like that, I was going to get a low Uber rating Therefore, they weren't going to like me and I was going to be rejected. Now, this all goes back to probably parents being divorced and going to boarding school, this kind of stuff.
Nightmare when you get low Uber rating.
Yeah.
Worst. Can't get a fucking cab for it's money. Terrible.
But so what happened was, I remember it very well. We're going to the south of France filming up there. And I had neglected so many friends and family members because I just didn't, being in a social situation, one-on-one or two-on-one or whatever it was too intimate. So I just rejected it all. And I was sitting in, going back to go to the south of France, and I thought, I should go out tonight. And I didn't know who to message. I was like, who do I message right now? Cool. Because I think you were out in France by the time, because I came out late. And I thought, I can't phone anyone. Mm. There isn't, because I've rejected everyone for so long. And if I suddenly phone, that's going to be weird. And so I had to then rebuild that. And I felt incredibly lonely.
Yeah.
Because even though I was on a TV show and I had Instagram followers or whatever it was and had family and friends around me, I just felt so disconnected from everyone because I had pushed everyone away because I was so anxious. And I felt, and it made me sad. I felt so anxious about it all.
Alex, did you have the same thing with the whole, did it sort of bleed into your experience of normal life?
I guess maybe you... I think I was maybe slightly better than you, Jay, partitioning the two, where I kept, because I kind of identified that it was a bit of theater to doing that show, right? In terms of like...
Well, you're more authentic than me, I would say, if I'm totally honest. If we're being honest, you are.
Oh, I think...
I'm a showman.
I think the greatest showman.
You allow certain driving forces to take hold of you more than I did. And I was good at like keeping truer to myself in some moments where you maybe didn't. But I think with loneliness, it's kind of like objective, isn't it, really? Like you could have some guy who sat on the top of the Himalayas who could be the most content guy in the world. So I guess it's all about like, how do you view loneliness? Like, what does it mean to you? Like, what is, so you said, Josh, that it was about connection, right?
Yeah.
Is that connection with another human? Is that what we're talking about?
I think so. Yeah, I think, well, again,
and I guess it's the form of that connection because it's like, you know, you could be walking, or for example, you could be on set and you could be talking to everyone there. That's connection on the face of it, but you're not really connecting. There's no one there that you can turn to if... You need to connect properly, right?
This is a slight sideline, but I watched the Lady Gaga documentary on Netflix. God, have you seen it?
No, yeah, I've not seen it.
It's fascinating. So
favorite Lady Gaga song gone?
Paparazzi.
Thought you'd be right.
Or actually Bad Romance.
Not Poker
Bad
Face.
Romance.
Yeah. Not Poker Face.
What was some of the shit from the movie, the Bradley Cooper movie? What was that?
Star is Born.
Love some of that. Anyway, she has this line in it where she finally gets home after having been on tour or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And she has this line, which is, I spend my whole day with people touching me.
Mm.
And then when I get home, no one touches me because I don't have a boyfriend and I'm on my own and no one, because there's always like hair and makeup people and publicists and blah, blah, blah. And she gets home, she's just like, I feel this total lack of touch.
Yeah, you would.
Which is a kind of, I suppose, an interesting way of thinking about loneliness as well. Bit like physical connection as well.
Yeah, but I guess it kind of mirrors a little bit back to what we were talking about again, which is like overdoing it with anything, right?
Yes.
So overdoing it with the porn, overstimulating. So our view of connection maybe is a little bit distorted because we're like, we're thinking all of these different, like we're on WhatsApp all the time, we're talking all the time, we're thinking that's connection. But actually, is that really at its core proper connection? Is that what's going to make us feel good?
Well,
like, what is that? What makes us feel really good?
A psychotherapist would argue, right, that a real connection is where it's not via phone or anything, it's in person, touch, feel. A real connection is someone that you will go and spend their birthday with them. That's a real connection. And when you lack that in life, that's when a lot of anxiety and sadness kicks in. There is these huge arguments which are you know, the happiness test, which is, I've said it before in the podcast, which they did a social experiment and they did it over the whole, it was people's whole life, and at the end they realized the happiest people weren't the ones who were the richest or the most famous or the most powerful. It was the ones who had the best connection with family and friends. They were the fundamentally the most happiest. And, you know, we see loneliness in much older people because lots of their friends have died and their kids, they don't have kids potentially, or their partners have died, or their kids are doing other things. So they feel incredibly lonely that way. And we live in a generation of being lonely because we feel like we don't fit in.
Mm.
So we feel we don't fit in.
I think the importance of community has been lost because there's so many big driving forces that want to kind of like isolate us and keep us as like a single individual. Whereas previously we were all part of community. And I think, you know, If something's going wrong in your life, or you need someone to look after your baby or something, you can turn to your neighbor or whatever and say.
And also, I've wrote something about this before, where it's talking specifically about the way that social media is designed.
Yeah.
And the great lie, which is that it exists to bring us together.
Mm.
In fact, the success of a social media company is predicated on us feeling apart and us existing apart. Otherwise, what would be the point of Instagram? Or what would be the point of even WhatsApp? If people are connected and people are feeling that degree of connection, why the fuck would they spend any time on Instagram?
Yeah,
but at someone else's life, or why would you spend any time, you know, sending out text messages to people who you've no interest in actually seeing on WhatsApp?
Yeah, I mean, being slightly doubtful about the big existing powers and knowing what their interests
are.
For us, man. The last thing they would want are these apps that connect everyone. It would be the worst thing for them, because it doesn't work like that. They don't want everyone to come together, because then people suddenly realize and go, "Oh, hang on a minute."
They're not up to much good. But we're living in a world, right, which is the most connected we've ever been, but we're the most disconnected we've ever been as well. This is from Mind, and they say one common description of loneliness is the feeling we get when we are need for rewarding social contact and relationships is not met. But loneliness is not always the same as being alone. You may choose to be alone and live happily without much contact with other people, while others may find this a lonely experience. Mm. Or you may have lots of social contact or be in a relationship or part of a family and still feel lonely, especially if you don't feel understood or cared for by the people around you. One thing I've learned is the difference between feeling alone and feeling lonely, and how you can feel lonely in a crowd full of people, but quiet, but quite peaceful and content when alone.
Yeah.
It's
interesting.
It's interesting, right? There's lots of different forms of it. And I think we confuse ourselves with being lonely was when you just don't have any friends because you feel like a loner. But that isn't loneliness. We're lonely because we are so, we know the statistics of mental health and anxiety and things like that. So then the question is then how do we overcome that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think to take it one step further, and it depends, I don't know how spiritual both you guys are, but like,
should we close our eyes for this?
Yeah. Should we hold hands?
If you could close your eyes.
Can someone get the incense? Let's get some.
If you could pull your pants down, we'll begin. But you know, there's the belief that, you know, we are essentially all one, and our souls are all connected, essentially all part of this universal kind of goo. So you'd get, you know, this guy sat on the top of the Himalayas, and he doesn't need to be around people because he knows he is connected to the universe. He is connected to nature. Mm-hmm. He is connected to everyone in that moment. And to be honest, one of the things that's really helped me is actually, like, again, sounds cliche, and I am becoming a cliche, but getting back out into nature and just like taking it in and appreciating it.
There's lots of research into
it,
that.
It does really, does really help. It's turned it around.
Pretty quickly
for me. Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty sweet.
What's the research?
There's lots of research about, well, different. There's different sort of strands, but connection with nature is a really important part of mental health. And there's one study which I thought was really interesting, where they compare the mental health benefits of running on a treadmill.
Mm.
Versus the mental health benefits of running through a woodland or a park or something like that. Both are good, but the woodland kicks the shit out of the treadmill.
There's an interesting deeper connection to this. Actually, I was watching something yesterday, and it links into someone we had on talking about gut health. And when you go for a run in the woods, you actually take on a load more microbiome because of the diversity in woodland is so much higher than in the city.
Mm.
So that then makes your gut stronger, which then makes your mental health better.
Yes.
Apparently, so it's a double hit.
I remember when I was going through my really sort of terrible period, and my therapist said to me, when you go running, because I would go running down the river, he says, what do you do? And I said, oh, I listen to music or a podcast. He says, don't. Just run.
Really?
With nothing. Ooh. You're listening to. Yeah, I know, boring, right? But actually there was something much clearer about it and more rewarding, I suppose. But it's interesting, right? I truly believe.
Running with nothing is good because you actually have to think.
Yeah,
you get forced, and I know a lot of people that will run for hours as therapy because they're forced in their own mind to just think.
I'm just so cynical about those people who say that they have running. That. Yeah, I'm like, running. I do my 5 kilometers three times. Yes. Not you fucking know, but I do it 3 times a week, and every time I do, I go, the moment I leave, I'm like, how much longer?
Yeah.
I go, okay, I've listened to 3 minutes of this song. I'm probably running at 12 kilometers an hour, which means I've got this much left, and that's my whole thing for 25 minutes it takes, and then I'm done.
Maybe
1 in 100, I'm in the Nike advert and it's like me in the road. And yeah, you know what I mean? And like, oh my God, it comes and says 4 kilometers. I'm like, oh my God, that flew by. The rest of the time, it's a fucking grind.
Yeah,
don't you think?
I totally agree with you. But the way that I also think that we conquer all of this, or begin to conquer it, is exposing yourself to the situation. Exposing is a weird one, but exposing yourself. So we always talk about this, Josh. You know, if you have OCD, right, and you don't want to walk across three drains because you're worried the world's going to end if you do, walk across three drains and realize that actually it's not as bad as you thought it was going to be.
Yes.
And with loneliness, what happens is that we're either scared to connect, or we're worried what people are going to think of us, or that we're socially anxious. But if you push yourself out a little bit outside of your comfort zone, if you go find an app, or you message an old friend, or you just go meet up for a drink or a breakfast or whatever it is, even though it's going to fill you with so much anxiety because you're worried about doing it, go and do it. Because then when you've done it, you'll realize actually it isn't that bad. And the more times you do that, you train yourself to feel better. And then your loneliness will start to deplete. That's what I did.
And put your phone away when you see your friend.
Totally.
Like Dr. Rongnam was saying that. He had a patient that came in that was... sort of on the face of it, it looked like he had everything, was successful, but was really depressed. And he just prescribed him to go and see his mate and put his phone away for an hour and a half each week. And he came back and felt
it's amazing
after.
But I would say, just to add to that thing, because this is true of lots of mental health conditions, but loneliness is one of the ones. I think there'd be a degree of embarrassment about saying to your friend, look, I'm actually really, really quite down in the dumps and quite alone, yeah. Feel very isolated. But in my experience, that the process of asking for help is so, so important. And it's also got so much easier. You know, I've been wanging on about this kind of stuff for like 4 or 5 years. And in that time, the public conversation around mental health and attitudes towards mental health have moved on so quickly, to the point where now it's kind of, well, not in everywhere. There's obviously not in all walks of life and everything, but saying, look, I would really love to go for a walk with you because I'm feeling very, very lonely is a very difficult thing to say, but it's also the most important and powerful first step, I think.
Absolutely. Being vulnerable is key. Exactly. It's showing vulnerability is such an attractive thing and people don't think it is. I truly believe that. I think that we've lost connection. We've gained social media, but we've lost connection. And that's why this sort of loneliness is really risen. And I think that we really got to try and conquer that.
If you can hit us up on @privateparts podcast on Instagram, follow us.
It's true. It's the thing that start talking about it, right? Yeah. I remember I went for just in between the lockdowns, right? I remember this. It was just, we could all go out and see people and things like that. And I had a dinner party with a couple of our friends. You weren't there, Millie, right?
Perfect.
And we were all sitting there. Sorry. But we were sitting there and it was so funny. We were talking about, and we had a couple of drinks. We got a bit deep because it was lockdown and whatever.
A few skinny bitches.
And we were talking about the fact that we feel alone. And one of the guys there said, do you know what I do? I was so jealous of my brother who has just left school. He sits and he plays PlayStation and he has all of his mates on FaceTime and they just talk about nothing. And I really miss that. And actually the person that I call is my mum. And it went round the circle and each person said, God, I'm the same. I miss that like time because life takes over and we disconnect from people. And actually a lot of the things that, the biggest thing that people regret when they die? Like, well, not regret, I suppose, when they die, they say, wish they'd done more of. Top five things that people wish they'd done more of in their life. Right? One of them is taking more risks. The other one is not caring. Like one of them is caring not as much about money, lots of stuff like that. But one of the big things is staying connected with friends. I think we lose that because we forget that friends are like gardens. We have to water them to make them grow.
Wow. Okay, that's a good one.
It's true, right? It's 100% true.
I agree with that.
And I learned it the hard way. I really did. I didn't water my friends. I really didn't. And I lost connections with lots of them. And
you now just piss all over.
Yeah. But I think it is true. And it's also important to act vulnerable. They did this again, this survey where they got a group of depressed people. And they put half of them on antidepressants to see what would happen. And they put half of them on activities in the evening. So they would go to a bridge club or a hockey club or a tennis club. And actually they saw more improvement with the people who went to the social clubs than actually on antidepressants.
Yeah.
Connection is the biggest thing.
Connection is the key.
We just need to get more, like everything we do is so unnatural these days. We need to take it back. The answers are all there. They're pretty simple. We've got to stop all this noise around.
I've got to be honest. I mean, it sounds like a very heavy dinner party, don't you think?
Yeah. Okay. So,
what did you cook, by the way? You don't cook, do you? I've asked this before. You said no.
Are you cooked like, I'll have like a jus and a mousse. And let
there
you do
are mousses.
There you go.
White wine jus.
There will be mousses.
Garlic moule and white wine jus.
Okay. To end things, Josh.
Garlic moule in white
garlic moule. Josh, as the king of this, what would you say that if you are someone who is feeling lonely, especially during this week, or you're feeling anxious or whatever it is, what would you say to that person?
Two things that I would say. Number one, ask for help, like we were talking about earlier. And the second thing, well, I always say this, it doesn't matter if it's a problem to do with loneliness, anxiety, depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, anything like that, to try to hold in your head the thought that it will always get better. And what is so tricky with mental health is at the moment when it's at its worst is when you can just never foresee a moment where it's going to be better. And I've had some really, really, really miserable weeks and months, and now I'm a lot, lot better. And that's the thing that I would just suggest to people, to try and remember. It always gets better.
I love that. This too shall pass.
You're really on one today with what are we going to get next? I mean,
I love that. I love that. Mitt, what's your one?
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of mirror what Josh just said, and I'm a firm believer that there's always an equal and opposite in the other direction. So if something is really terrible, there's going to be some good shit down the other end of it. And that's happened in my life. And I've felt pretty fucking awful at times. Mm. And I felt amazing, you know, a couple of months later. So you just hang on in there and
exactly
get yourself into the woods.
Yes.
But don't go naked though. Not yet. Enjoy nature and meet up with your mates.
I love that.
Put your phone away.
And I also think focusing on loneliness, because that's what Mental Health Awareness Week is about this week, I would say that if you are someone who's feeling lonely, push yourself outside your comfort zone. Go and join a social club, even though it may fill you with incredible anxiety. Phone your friend. Go and do something that would challenge you. That do the unexpected for yourself, and see if it changes. What is the worst that could happen? There isn't. So if you are feeling shit, if you are feeling crap, if you are feeling lonely, go and do that. And again, as Josh, you said, whatever you're feeling, this too shall pass. Everything passes. It does get better. And whoever you are always going to be wanted by someone. For sure. So yeah, that was all of us. Hey, Josh, your book, how's it doing?
Yeah, it's doing. It's in the Kindle Spring Summer Sale, so you can get it for 99p. A year of my life it took me to do that, and now it's 99p.
Wait,
so
but this isn't.
The new one.
Yeah, Drift.
Also 99p. So it's Generation Drift, which is a book about careers and why we're unhappy in our jobs. Also 99p. So you can buy my entire oeuvre for £2.
I would
£98. How about that?
Nice, not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
This is not being biased. Go and get Josh's books. I swear to God, they are game changers for so many people. They have helped.
Oh, thanks, mate.
I swear, I'm not just saying because you're here. I really, truly believe that they are funny, witty, interesting, and they save lives. So go and grow it.
That's very kind,
Josh. Love you.
Cheers, boys.
Millie,
been a pleasure.
Love
you. Great to meet you.
Love you too.
And to everyone else, have a great week, and we'll see you on Friday where we have Ben West. Ben West, 22 years old.
Very good.
His brother committed suicide at 15. And he now is an activist to stop people taking their own lives. And whatever ways he can do it, he's going
to
do
that. That sounds great.
It's amazing. Yeah. This Friday, go and check it out. All right, everybody. Have a great week and we'll see you later. Goodbye.
Ciao for now.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.